This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
It is episode number 226 of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 1600 Buckslayer Place, beautiful Buckatorium, lovely Sherrard, Illinois. This is the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, the finest podcast to ever be recorded in Sherrard, Illinois.
That's a
and
fact.
That's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
God damn it.
Yep. I went there.
Thanks for getting out of the way.
I have literally never said that on 226 episodes. That's the first time I've said it. But I am Steve. In the studio today is Kurt.
Hey, everyone.
Douglas.
Howdy.
Tank Intern Tank.
Yep, I'm here again.
Hey.
Taking notes, drinking Crown. We pay him in Crown.
Taking notes, yeah. Intern taking notes.
He keeps coming back.
Tank in notes.
There it is.
Yeah, we got them with that Crown Vanilla. We got you on that Ross Bigger diet.
Yeah, man, it's a good diet. I know why Ross does it.
Crown and beard?
Crown and beard.
Yeah, that's
so all your
life.
Beard's looking so good now?
Yeah. Damn. It's gotten real thick.
It's nice. It's real thick. It's real nice, like.
It's just the beard.
I just need a mountain.
Yeah, I just need a mountain to climb and a tree to cut down. Thanks, everyone, for tuning into the podcast. We're going to start it off right out the gate with a veteran shout-out.
Oh, that we are.
We have a veteran shout-out segment on every show, on almost every show. Go to workingclassbowhunter.com. Hit the contact form, and you will see the veteran shout-out tab in there. Help us with pronunciation with names. Thank you. Go ahead, Steve. Let her rip.
All right. So this vet shout-out this week comes from a buddy of ours who sent it in. He wanted to shout-out Space Force as the branch. Just wanted to give a shout-out to all future United States Force vets. Thanks for keeping the galaxy safe. Always remember, never forget, if you ain't Space Force, you ain't shit.
Who's
that? Was Chris Rogers. He said, on a serious note, shout out to all of my U.S. Air Force AMMO, AMMO brethren out there continuing to provide our nation's enemies the opportunity to die for their countries. Chris Rogers retired. He's a vet. Thank him for his service.
Thank
he
you, man.
He did some ammo. But
he sent us some stickers. We got one here on the door. If you ain't ammo, you ain't shit.
If you ain't Space Force, you ain't shit.
That's pretty funny.
I thought that was a funny deal.
I thought that was like the only shout out there. I'm like, come on.
No. There's a serious note on there. But thank you for all the other guys who are out there making ammo. You know, you gotta put something in the guys' guns who are shooting it. So thank you guys for all your service to this country.
Pack some heat.
Pack a gun.
Pack and heat.
But if you guys do have another vet, like Kurt said, visit our website. We are more than happy to shout them out. So,
yes, thank you. Thanks for your service, everyone. This podcast is brought to you by Elite Archery.
Dude.
Tell me about Elite Archery, Steve.
Do you want to know what's happening?
Your show notes.
Chris Schaff in Real Wild.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Our banging it out in Salt Lake City right now. I haven't seen what the results are as of when we're recording this podcast. That's a big shoot that's going on. They were going for like they qualified first and second, and dude, those guys
that's
have been
going on right now while we're recording.
Well, it depends on what time of this is. Also going on this weekend where our good buddy Darren Christianberry is at OPA.
Oh yeah, that's Levi Morgan's shoot.
Yeah, so they're in Pennsylvania. So Elite is out there all across the country, and the target shooters, I mean, it's that time of year.
Doing work.
So, you know, you're thinking about, yeah, buy that Ritual for hunting season, but you really should have bought the Echelon when you, like, February, day after hunting season. You should have bought that Echelon so you could have it for target season, but buy that Ritual now so it's set up for bow season. So that's Elite shooters are handling business this year, especially that young man, Chris Schaff. We need to get him on a podcast.
We were watching Chris Schaff, me and Tank were the other day, and that dude's he's
killing it, man.
He can't miss.
No, he's absolutely killing it. They've got a great group of guys out there. Check out elitearchery.com. Like I said, go get that Ritual set up for hunting season, but you should be shooting your Echelon or Victory X by now.
For sure.
And that's all I got
to
say.
I got my E35 getting ready to.
Yeah,
well, it is set up. I just got to sight it in. I got a. The HHA on there ripping. Single Pin Nation, lifetime warranty, American made. Check them out. A lot of people are making the switch over to the single pin versus the cluster of five pins. Almost said clusterfuck, so there it is.
You were going to say clusterfuck.
Yeah,
okay.
But I didn't.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. You did not say that.
They're not that bad.
Single pin really cleans it up for me. I like it a lot. It's just the adjustment of shooting to one pin and having that rangefinder glued by you when you're hunting.
And it comes up from the bottom, not from the side.
Yeah, it's a different setup, but I prefer it. Scent Crusher. I can't pull up your show notes, Steve, because you took it on some foreign program.
Yeah, right, dude. We made a foreign program, dude. Scent Crusher. Dude, holler at your boy with that Ozone Go. So if you guys don't have the Ozone Go, you got guys and gals, working men and women of this country, and maybe the northern, wherever you're from. Yeah, you make your country great, no big deal. But you're going to sweat, and you're going to sweat a lot, and as soon as you get off work, you're going to go sit in your vehicle.
You're going to stink.
You're going to stink. Your vehicle's going to stink. That Ozone Go is really, really helping out right now. So, and we always preach about during hunting season, but think about this. It's a busy time of year. You got to work them 10-hour days. You don't got a lot of time. You might have to work Saturday, so now you maybe work close to where your hunting property is. You got to drive down there. You don't want to booger up your hunting area. Ozone Go it up, man. Always make sure you got that Scent Crusher bag. Keep a spare change
of
clothes in
there.
Dude,
those gear bags are going to save our asses in Colorado in September.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Plug them into the truck. Run it. Even camping. I'm going camping this weekend. Me and Sam's one-year anniversary, and I'm gonna bring that because if you get all sweaty, you just...
That's your one-year anniversary. You're camping. What are you getting sweaty for, Kurt?
It's humid out in the Midwest.
Gets hot out.
It's hoping for something else, but yeah, I get it.
Nah, bro, this is PG. It's a fucking P-rated show. No way.
Sick fuck.
Yeah, you're disgusting. So, yeah, right on with the podcast. This is going to be a fun one. We got the boys from Identical Draw. We've been watching them all day on Carbon TV. Check that out. They know a little bit about Scent Crusher. They were rocking that in their show, which is cool to see. We'll get them on, Thomas and Nathan, and check them out. Carbon TV, hope you enjoy, and we'll just jump right into it unless I miss something that we need to add in the intro. All right, cool.
Nope, that's it.
Here they are.
All right, so on two phones with us, one and two, I would assume they're identical phones. We have Thomas and Nathan Crick. That's right, Crick, as in, you know, what Midwesterners call streams.
That's right.
Yeah, it's stream off Washington. No, it's a creek on Washington. Thomas and Nathan, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thanks for having
us. Doing well. Yeah, thanks.
Well, appreciate you guys joining the show. You guys are kind of different, as in you're identical, and you guys got a show on Carbon.
How the hell is that different?
Well, yeah, good point, bro. Good
so
point.
You guys are exactly okay. the same.
You guys are different from everybody else, as then you're identical.
You're yeah, you're different because you're the same.
Wow, that man.
Right.
That's it's like, nice, that's just like, what's dude, it say? He showed up missing? How the hell does that happen?
He showed up missing. Well, he showed up and he was missing.
But no, yeah. Thanks for joining the show. Off to an awkward start, but how you boys doing?
We're doing great. We are excited to get this thing going, and it's been a good week for us, so we've kind of been looking forward to this podcast and excited to get to know you guys better for sure.
Well, give us some background, man. Where are you guys from, and what do you do? Let the people know.
Yeah, I'll let you take this one. Yeah, so we've been hunting and fishing all of our lives, basically, and we first started with pheasant hunting when our dad took us out. We were pretty young, second and third grade, and we went out with the uncles and cousins and grandpa, and we just had an awesome time. We carried our BB guns through the field, didn't do anything but walk miles each day and spook up some pheasants, but we had a blast doing that, and that's really what hooked us. And then all of a sudden, we were turkey hunting for a few years, and then we were deer hunting, and what was a single trip each year for the open-air pheasant now was multiple trips each fall to try to get some whitetails down. But yeah, we identical draw has been a process, and it's been super fun for Thomas and I to get into it. And it really started in 2016 with the Harlan Bowhunter Film School, and we've been watching Harlan Bowhunter stuff for a really long time, and their production is just the greatest. And we finally saved up to get to their film school and kind of learn that whole side of it and wanted to start filming our hunt.
Very cool.
Yeah,
very
so,
cool.
And now, I don't know if we covered this yet, but you guys are identical twins.
Yes.
And some young cats. You guys aren't even 21 yet, are you?
No, we're not. No. We're 20.
So that's cool. You guys are in school right now doing this, too.
Hustling.
Yep. Yeah,
we're
actually
summer courses
right
now. So.
Oh, very cool, very cool. So what did you guys do? You guys were just inspired by the outdoor industry and wanted to dive into it and then just dove headfirst into the Heartland Bowhunter Film School? Or what made you like, pushed really, you?
Yeah, I really, the first hunt I filmed was a turkey hunt with my brother Anthony, and we called in these huge strutters to like 20 yards, and Anthony shot one, and I just filmed it with my iPhone, and just to capture his reaction and the excitement was just insane. And even though the quality was terrible, it was just awesome to see the excitement, and like it gave us chills just watching it again. Like, this is something that we'd like to do. We had no camera experience before this, but when we were younger, we would watch literally hours of any hunting like content that we could get. We didn't have the Outdoor Channel, but we would watch like all the primos truths about hunting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We would just watch those 3-hour videos like through every day after school. And so like the whole filming thing was always in the back of our mind. And then the HB Film School really just kicked it off for us.
What like, you guys?
I don't know if you guys have watched our Carbon TV like intro for season one.
Yeah.
But it's like starts when we're like 10 years old and we're trying to do like the primos, like sit down, teach you how to call thing.
Yeah, we saw
that.
That
was really cool. Which is funny because that was filmed like, what, 2 years ago, something like that, you know, when you guys were 10.
Yeah.
No, that was cool, man. I enjoyed that. That's the first thing I noticed, too, is that you guys pay attention to the detail and the quality of the footage. And that was the first thing that stood out to me. And you can see that in the intro. So it's cool that you guys do that because it shows like, yeah, we didn't just start to do this to have a show and be like recognized for just being on TV or on, you know, a streaming network. So it's kind of cool to see that. And I can tell you guys put some hard work into getting high quality shots. And so it makes sense that you guys had like professional schooling from Heartland Bowhunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That kind of fueled it for us. We went into that film school, like completely new, like we didn't even know that a Nikon that we had could film video. And, like, all these guys had their DSLRs, and we're like, dang, like, maybe that can film some video. So we didn't even know it, like, going into that.
So, yeah, that's really cool. I mean, you guys are putting this out, and we'll kind of touch on this a little bit. You guys are currently in school right now. You guys aren't film majors, are you? Like art majors? You guys are going for something else?
Yeah, we're doing something else. We both have different degrees. Thomas is doing a little exercise science route, and right now I'm undeclared, but I've been doing a lot of like counseling psychology classes and stuff like that. But of course, this is the dream to be able to do this full time, and so we kind of like we talked to our professors at Nebraska Wesleyan and made this thing work last fall. We did an internship, and then we also did another online class. So that meant we had no classes actually in the classroom. So basically, all fall we were full time students, 12 credits, but we did not spend a single day in the classroom. We were out filming hunts for carbon. Which was, like, the best way to do it because we could fill credits, please the parents, you know, and then also
there you go.
Also film the hunts. So it was a double whammy.
Yeah, you guys got it figured out. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, because, you know, most college students would be like, I'll just go to the campus, but I'm just going to drink and you know, hook up with chicks. Yeah. Like, you guys are like, we don't even want to go to the campus. We want that degree, but we actually want to get out.
I did it wrong.
Yeah. You actually want to get out and kill some critters. I mean, how do you balance the school life and trying to put all this together and, you know, do whatever else you guys do? I mean, are you finding that being challenging? I mean, still being young, you know, you guys aren't fully into life yet, but what's going on with you guys now? How do you balance all of this right now?
Definitely makes a really busy schedule. So, like Nate mentioned, we still were full time students. So, any weeks we weren't hunting, we were spending time doing schoolwork. And then during the spring, since it's a lot easier to do a turkey weekend hunt than a deer weekend hunt, we pack full all the credits we can, 18 credits for the spring. But man, that makes for a busy time because we're also busy editing our hunts in the fall. So. Yeah, I mean, to have any successful business, you have to burn the midnight oil. So I guess that's what we've been doing.
All right. Well, you can tell the hustle's there. And then, so you guys have seasons on carbon. How long have you been on carbon and how's that doing? That's got to be pretty exciting because you guys are kind of doing the hunting thing and the school thing. So to get some recognition and be out there for everyone to watch is a pretty big deal.
It was super exciting. We had been in contact with carbon a little bit last year, but we had filmed our entire season. And in November, we were like, where are we going to put this stuff? I mean, we were just going to like get a YouTube channel going and stuff. But ideally, like we had grown up watching a bunch of carbon stuff, and that was like the dream to get on there. And then all of a sudden, we got an email from them, and they wanted our first season. So like big time prayers answered there. And so once they contacted us, we were like, heck yeah, we've got episodes for you guys, from big game hunts to fly fishing to pheasant and stuff. So that was a big time move for us to be able to get on there. And after just a single season of filming, Thomas and I were really happy with that accomplishment to be able to get on there and be happy with our first season episodes. Because, I mean, it was in 2016, we did have kind of like that was our first fall of really filming. But honestly, we were just sitting up in tree stands holding a Nikon D5100 in our lap. Wasn't anything great. We pretty much scratched that entire season. So
you got to have that season, though, at the same time, you know, before you jump in and do it the right way. You kind of have to have like a screw-around, dabbling type season.
But then you guys did have, you know, the good shit. And, I mean, you know, for anybody who's thinking about putting a project out there, you guys did it right because when Carbon's like, hey, what do you got for us? You're like, hey, guess what? We got a whole season. We got it on deck.
Right.
That's a really smart move. I mean, I think obviously the hard work and effort you guys put into it, it's all coming out of your pocket. College students got to be working some real shitty jobs just to afford all this equipment. But you guys went out there, had all of it, and you presented it, and now you're here. So now what's your guys' drive look like now? I mean, are you guys – more pumped? Are you guys trying to stay on the same plane? What's going on now? Like, what
next?
Are we looking at? What's like season two looking like? I mean, season one's good.
Yeah.
Is season two going to be better?
Stevens want you to leak some stuff on the podcast.
I do. That's what I'm looking for.
Of course. Yeah. I can take this one. I look back at season one and I'm like, this is good stuff. I'm happy with it. We had some successful hunts and we had some hunts that didn't work out. And the film is overall, I'm like, okay, it's all right. But there's so much that we can do better. It's hard not to just look at it and be like, oh, come on. Like, these are obvious things now that I see that we can definitely improve on. But it's also going to be great for us in season two to make those improvements and make a huge leap forward. We want our season two to be a whole other level of content on like quality and the whole storyline. We're shooting for more relationships with the people that watch our show. And we are super pumped for season two. We got some hunts planned up. Just the other day, Thomas and I had a big meeting. We're doing an Idaho mule deer hunt. And that is going to be the big one in September. We're going to be loading up the backpacks and heading back into the country. I listened to the podcast before that you guys had on, Clint.
Yeah, yep.
And I love that one because he kind of talked about the whole Western hunt, how you got to pack back there. And Thomas and I kind of have the same mentality as him. We're both cross-country runners. Well, post. We both ran in high school, and then I ran some in college. And so we're just going to put those packs on, load up camp, and get deep in the wilderness and hopefully find some nice mule deer bucks. So we've got a really exciting fall ahead of us.
Awesome. Well, I'm already excited to looking for that episode because that's the stuff that's, growing up a Midwestern guy and, I grew up hunting, the typical Illinois timber. That Western stuff is so foreign and so interesting to me that it's exciting to see that, especially guys that are relatable. Like, you guys are out there going backpacking and doing it. That's why we love talking to Clint so much, because he's a dude from Ohio that drives way the hell out to Montana, Idaho, Colorado.
Yeah.
He's in New Mexico. Yeah. he's out there doing it. So he's kind of the voice for the Midwestern guy that's like, hey, listen, you can do this stuff. You just got to go. But you did bring up, you guys had some successful hunts and unsuccessful hunts, but we just watched right before the podcast, actually watched the episode when you guys were out public land mule deer hunting. And that episode because it wasn't all about the kill. It was like, you could tell you guys were out there hustling, getting after it, and showed you guys cooking at the truck and all that. Yep. And I was really into that episode, watching you guys going on those spotting stalks. And maybe just, I want you to touch a little bit on what that's like going after public land muleys, because for me, that's something I want to do next, next September. I'm wanting to do some public land mule deer hunting, whether it's Colorado or Nebraska or Idaho or wherever I can go. I'm going somewhere, maybe South Dakota even. I might go up with my buddy Jeremy. But cool. Just what's that like, and any tips for someone that's going to do it next fall, and just what do you got?
And why did you guys make spaghetti without breadsticks? I don't get that.
Hey, we'll do it when we can. That was a big mistake. We got to change that for season two.
Okay, that's the most important
thing. Do us one favor. Make breadsticks with the spaghetti. Just be like, this is for the boys at Working Class Bowhunter.
You got to learn from your mistakes,
Dude, go to Fazoli's and get a bunch of them, freeze them, and then be like, yeah, we're ready to go. We're ready to go to our mule deer hunt.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, the great thing about that mule deer hunt, anybody with a bow or but can just step on that ground and do exactly what we did. So we love that factor of it. But man, Nebraska, we're lucky. We have some great sandhill mule deer public land out west. So Nate and I were just like, hey, let's throw a dart at the map and let's go try some of this out. Let's camp out there. So it ended up being a 7-8 day hunt. Super wild, tons of land out there, tons of country. Didn't run into too many people. So we weren't quite sure what to expect because that was our first public land hunt out there. But yeah, as the episode shows, we had a couple first hard days. We kind of skimmed through them quickly in the episode, but man, there's a lot of blasting and very few spots. So that ended up being tough, but on the fourth day, I think it was, we were lucky enough just to run into some bucks. What we were doing is we were checking for does, and then wherever those does were, we'd go slowly into those spots and see if some bucks are bedded nearby.
It looked like some good bucks, too, you guys got in on. There was at one point one of you guys was up on the hill, and the other person was trying to yell to get the muleys to stand. I think there was three bucks better there, and I'm watching. I'm like, to be honest, I'd shoot all three of those boys if wanted to give me a chance.
Yeah, for sure.
They said it was Nathan, but I believe it was Thomas. I don't know. I don't believe these
two. We actually just posted the picture of one of the big ones on our Instagram and Facebook, I think. And it was, like, this one was huge. Like, we were 300-400 yards away, and you could just see that thing just sticking out like crazy. His antlers were just insane. And his body, too. I mean, on one of those stalks, Thomas was 10 yards from him.
Yeah, that first one. Like,
the top eyes.
And I was standing over him that I was just so close to him. He didn't give me a chance. He just, like, turned and split, but...
Yeah, they dipped out right away.
It's crazy to be so close to, like, such a huge animal like that.
Well, what's cool about it is, you don't on those type of hunts, you don't have to have a kill to make an entertaining episode, especially for the Midwestern crowd. They just want to see that type of hunt and what they can learn from an episode like that and how to go about it. Because that's an educational thing for me. When I watch that, I'm entertained by it, but I'm also taking mental notes. And sometimes even I'm writing stuff down, like, when I do this, because it's all bucket list stuff, you know. So it's a goal I'm always chasing. So to watch you guys do it, it's cool because I can see myself chasing after the same goal.
Yeah, out of all of our hunts, that mule deer hunt was by far the one we learned the most on, just because it was such a grind and there's such disappointment and success. We was like, you don't understand, it's like, it is a matter of 10 seconds where you are on high, like cloud nine, when that buck is just bedded 20 yards from you, and then in, like, just a snap of your finger, it's different. Either you get a shot and you have success, or you miss, or it just doesn't work out. You can't get a shot off. And that first stalk we had on this big buck, I mean, it would have easily been our biggest buck. And to see, like, after, it wasn't, Thomas didn't, like, he shot at, like, he flung an arrow, like, 60 yards. But basically, he was at 10 yards. He got the buck's attention. That thing just beelined, like, out of our lives, basically, until a few days later. But to see Thomas after that hunt was just pure, like, raw emotion and disappointment. It was, out of our entire lives hunting together, I've never seen Thomas in such a tough spot. I just, like, you're trying to be positive. You're like, hey, we're going to get back on these guys. Like, you just have to be positive in those moments because, you know, on these hunts, you're going to have those disappointing moments, and you're either going to come back from strong or you're just going to give up. And then you're like, you're just trying to stay positive as much as possible. But it was so tough. The rest of that evening was just, oh, my gosh, we were just trying to pull ourselves up out of that. I know Tom felt bad about the whole thing, but it happened so fast. You just got to be on your feet, and you got to be ready for whatever happens. Yeah.
Definitely. Man, you can't even drink your problems away. You're only 20 years old. Man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Just eat a bunch of Paschetti and get out of there.
Paschetti? Did you just say Paschetti?
Yeah, Paschetti.
What's your guys' favorite episode on season one?
Tom, you go first.
I don't know. I'd honestly probably say the mule deer. I don't know. Like, watching it and how it actually went was different. Like, the elk hunt, of course, was fun to be able to kill an elk, but I'd have to say mule deer. I don't know about you, Nate.
I would definitely say the elk was my favorite because I got to kill. but also sure. Because that whole hunt, I mean, climbing those mountains, it is just a completely different ball game than this Nebraska hunting. And
you hear that,
Kurt? I mean, we were doing these.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to get in shape.
It is, but I mean, you got to be in shape for that crap. I mean, it is not easy, and you're sweating your butt off every morning. I mean, we walk through the dark every morning to get up into the spots where they'd be bugling right off the bat, and it's early season. So we were mainly working the water for those elk, not really doing a ton of calling and stuff. And we had some bugles, but it was mainly like, let's find the water, let's find the areas where they'll feel safe and feed. And to actually have that come together in the fifth night was insane. I give Tom credit on it because we had hunted so hard and we had only seen like a few groups of elk. And that night, I was like, it was past the prime time in the evening. It was like kind of getting darker. I was like, hey, you want to head back down? Like,
we're a mile and a half, 2 miles from trailhead, basically. And he's like, no, let's stick it out. I mean, we've got only, like, I don't know, another 35 minutes. And so we're like, okay, let's just stick it out. And right then, it's like, Nate, Nate, Nate. And across the valley, we just see this cow elk just coming straight for us, just on a beeline. And I had done some cow calls before that, so I knew she was, like, responding to something. And, I mean, she was calling the entire way into us. We could just hear her calling. And that whole, like, calling back to the animal is just insane. Usually you want, in September, you want a huge bull elk. But even this cow, I mean, was the biggest animal I've ever killed. So she came in all the way to 24 yards. And just staring right at us, just trying to find that other cow, just because they're such social animals. And I was able to draw back and get an awesome shot on her. And, man, did she taste good, though. And
oh, I bet.
That's the best part of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best part of it.
I've never had elk that someone had shot, like, you know, real wild elk. And that's, I'm sure you guys heard on the Clint episode, me and my dad and our buddy Jeremy from South Dakota are all planning on going elk hunting in Colorado this year. And I'm just, today was like the turning point where I just like all of a sudden got I'm super excited about it, but today I got the itch so bad that I can't wait to go. Like I'm like giddy, just like, oh shit, I can't wait for September. But I'm so nervous because of the unknown. The meat is one thing I'm looking forward to if we can make something happen. But the unknown has me so nervous, and I'm from tonight on, I'm going to binge watch public land elk hunting just to get like my fix. And it's also an educational thing. If your brain watches those hunts, you kind of like, I don't know, you know, like what to look for. Maybe not until maybe you won't learn it until you actually go, but I feel like it'll help rather than not watching them at all.
Yeah. I mean, that was our first elk hunt. So we were definitely lucky. I mean, I think the success rate in that unit is like 15 to 20%.
Oh, wow.
So we were definitely lucky, especially early season. They weren't rutting and stuff.
That's fairly high percent, I feel like, for public land.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
I mean, just over-the-counter. So it's like, it's one of the better over-the-counter units, I think. But I mean, for our first year, giving it a go, like, we are super pumped to be able to get that. And so, I mean, definitely, it's every single morning we learn something. We have like a little meeting after every hunt and be like, what did we get from this? Like, what are we going to do differently? And so it takes a few things to kind of like get your feet wet and figure it out, but it's going to be a blast.
The great thing is that Nate is like in my opinion, he's a super good diaphragm turkey caller. So like, I was like, Nate, get this elk diaphragm call. So he handled that and I knew I was going to be filming it. So he picked up on that elk call like immediately and it was awesome.
Dang, I had to get myself one. I gotta start practicing.
Yeah, you're good at that.
I'm good at turkey calling. Well, I feel like with a diaphragm. I can make a rip.
You're gonna make a rip?
Well, I'll make it happen, hopefully. Confidence, that's what you always tell me, Cameron.
Yeah.
You gotta be confident.
Just do it, man. Just don't even hesitate, just do it. Just
I'm excited for that. I'm like, I don't know. I'm
talk
super
about
pumped.
It, be about it.
I know. Yeah. We'll do a whole podcast with Jeremy before we go about our plans, and we're going to try and podcast from the mountain and do all sorts
Jeremy
of things.
From who?
Buckstorm.
Better give him a nice little plug.
Oh, he gets all the plugs he needs.
Did you guys see a lot of elk then? We didn't get to see the episode.
Yeah, that's one we haven't watched.
It was tough going, mainly. We got into a few different groups, and we actually had some local guy that had a cabin just a few acres down. And he wasn't hunting, but he had hunted when he was a little younger. And he's like, yeah, this is usually a good area and stuff like that. And so kind of just went up there out of the blue. And, I mean, we'd heard some bugles, but really, like, before that hunt, we'd maybe seen 10, 15 cows, maybe no bulls sighted. So,
what time of year were you guys out there?
It was late August. I think I shot my cow on September 2nd or 3rd.
So fairly early for bugling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'll be out September 15th is the first day I have marked in the calendar, but I think I'll be there like the 14th.
Yep, we're going to be there at the same time.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll be back at the woods, sure.
What's that?
See you guys in the woods.
Yeah, <it'll be> fun. We'll run into each other by chance. What the hell?
We'll be passing you guys on the path.
That would be funny.
We'll be hiking past you. You guys will be out of breath. No.
Yeah. Pull the Clint Casper. Oh, you guys are camping here. I'm camping like 6 miles away.
Yeah. That dude's crazy.
More halfway.
You want to say something, Doug?
Yeah. I got a question. How do you guys decide who films and who hunts?
It's a good one.
Good question. Nate? Tom, take it. Okay, I'll take it. Pretty much, it's...
You fight for
it? I mean, we just like have... We set up a ring. We pick a weapon. it's pretty easy. We're best friends too, so it's like, hey, like I was chasing a whitetail last fall and I wanted to like focus on him, so I was like, Nate, you can take this elk hunt, but hey, I get mule deer later. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Pick and choose your battles.
We kinda just divvy them up.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that? Me and my dad were hunting Rios in Kansas in the spring, and I shot a Rio turkey, and he didn't. He goes, you just got to give me first shot on an elk in Colorado. I'm like, all right.
Damn.
It's the way it's got to happen.
There you go.
Hey, but you know what? I guess, you know, you think about it. It's your father is going to get a first shot at an elk, potentially, now that you shot that Rio. You know, Thomas or Nate, whichever one you are, I don't believe whatever you guys
think
say.
They're just messing with you the whole time.
I think so, dude. That's a conspiracy.
That's the beautiful thing about your show. You can be like, they can be like, well, you know, one of you guys always shoots all the elk. Like, well, you don't know, though, because we switch it up. Like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, they'll switch roles.
But I think that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, this is my brother, my best friend. Dude, take the shot. You know what I mean? That's a true homie.
It's both for your show, so it's a success no matter who kills
but,
it.
But you know what? Think about this. Either Thomas or Nate, whoever wants to take credit, they either of them could. Like, yeah, I'll let my brother take that shot. So then all of a sudden he's like, oh, you're the hero. Not the hero for shooting it, but you're the hero for letting
If you're talking to a girl, you know, you take turns saying who shot the booner.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tonight
last
it's you.
Last fall was crazy.
Last fall?
Yeah, so last fall was crazy because I filmed pretty much the entire season, but I killed more than Tom because I was shooter first for the elk hunt, and I killed him the fifth day. And then we came back, and we did whitetail for a while, had no success, and I was filming Tom the entire time. And then... we went into the mule deer hunt, and I filmed Thomas, too, because I was like, hey, I killed the elk. I got to keep filming him. Had really close opportunities. And Thomas, during that hunt, was even like, hey, take your bow. I'll take the camera. I was like, no, you got to knock one of these down. Didn't happen. And then we came back to whitetail hunt, and I kept filming him. And then we went to our buddy out in Kearney. He's got some property, and Thomas was like, okay, you can have this hunt. So I was like, okay, I'll take this hunt. And... second or third day in that hunt, I killed a whitetail buck. And then we swapped back and deer hunted the rest of the season, had super close encounters. You've seen the deer season episode. And Thomas never got one in the bag. So it was like, whenever I had the bow in my hands, I had the success. And Thomas hunted way more than me, but it just, sometimes you get dealt good cards. So.
Just the way it works, man. It's hunting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unpredictable.
It swapped for turkey season, though.
What's that?
Yeah, it swapped for turkey season. I killed on our first evening out, and then I was filming Nate the rest of the season with no success. Yeah.
Are you guys, if you would say, if someone was like, hey, you can bow hunt or gun hunt for the one whole season, what one are you picking?
Bow hunt, hands down. We do. We're like 95% bow hunt.
Yeah.
Yep. We just have a pheasant hunt that we shotgun.
Well, that's cool, too. Now, that's a good mix in on the season. You know, it keeps everybody interested. Like Cameron in here, our intern, Tank Cameron Tank, he's a big bow hunter, but he also, when we were watching you guys' show before the podcast, too, he's like, hey, I want to watch that one. You know, that's the one. He's into that. He's got the hunting dogs for it. He's like, oh, we need to watch that. So, you got to, you know, that's the benefit of having that mix. Like, we're mostly bow hunting on our podcast. We're not going to have a whole episode about hunting pheasants or anything like that. So we kind of missed that market. I think that's great. You got to include that stuff, you know, doing what you guys are doing. It's cool to have a little mix up.
You guys are all across the board fishing and, you know, pheasant hunting and everything.
Yeah.
Hunting, fishing, loving every day. Didn't Luke Bryan say that?
I think.
Yeah. Like, exactly. I heard that Luke Bryan's allergic to fish. What kind of country artist is that? Well, we might have to figure that one out.
Yeah, we always love pheasant hunting because that's really what
started us in, like, loving our hunting. That's what our dad got us started on. So we always want to do a pheasant hunt each fall.
Yeah, definitely. I've never killed a pheasant, fun fact.
I don't either.
I've killed two. I've killed two, one in Iowa, one in Illinois, both of the 2004 GMC Envoy.
Good for you, man. Fact. I'm glad you're here.
You smoke them?
All right, boys. I got a question here. This is a two-part, so answer as you will. You guys can take turns. I want to know who's the better hunter out of the two, and then who's the better shot with a bow?
Ooh.
That is tricky, man. That's brutal.
I want pure honesty. The people are going to decide on whether or not to watch your show over these ones.
You guys are in separate rooms, so say whatever. Lock the doors, and let's hear it.
Yeah, okay. We might have a conversation after this, Tom.
Nasty Nate. Tom.
I'm going to go first, Tom. Yeah, go ahead. hands down, I'm both. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
Who's this? Is this Tom or Nate?
This is Nate.
Tom
Nate.
Talking.
Wait, Tom's the shit. A number one. You're the older one, though, right, Tom?
No, Nate is.
Oh, Nate's the older one. All right.
Okay, so if I'm throwing money on one of you guys at a 3D shoot, Tom's going to take. I'm going to win the money if I put my money on Tom.
I honestly, and I'm Nate speaking. I'd put it on Tom, hands down. But if you want to go out into the woods,
what a nice guy.
If you want to go out into the woods and kill anything, you go out with me. If you want to go out in the woods and have a nice walk, go out with Tom.
Damn, here it goes.
Damn, where do you put your money?
I would love if these two just started fighting right in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Dude, you hear their dad come in like, Tom, you're always doing this. You always think you're better, and Nate always whooped your ass. Oh, man, here we go.
Yeah, dude, calm down.
Ding, ding, ding.
This took a hard turn.
Hey, dude. I'll find out who the better hunter is. Do either of you two have girlfriends?
Yeah, we both do.
You both do.
I have a fiance.
Who has a fiance?
I have a fiance. Tom.
Is it Tom? Nate's the better hunter. Nate doesn't get locked down to one. Nate knows when to pass.
Yeah. You know, Nate gave me credits for being maybe a better shot, but when, like, we're walking into elk woods at like 3:30 in the morning, Nate just like he knows exactly where he's going, and I'm like just following him. I don't know how he knows the same path as yesterday, so I'll have to give him that.
Yes. Internal GPS, man. My dad has it. It's only certain people have it.
Yep. I actually have it, weirdly enough. That's
no, you
one
don't
thing
have
I
it.
Swear
no.
to God,
bullshit.
I do.
I'm calling.
Even
hold
know
on.
Your
stop
cat,
the podcast.
Maybe.
Stop the podcast.
I will go.
Shut the fuck up. Because
let's hear
this
it.
Is why I've been in the woods with you, and you turn into a little girl, man.
Because I'm nervous, dude. I don't trust you alone. I think you're gonna kill me. Is
you
what
do
it
not
is,
have
dude.
An internal GPS.
But
of all
if,
people,
if
on
I
the
go
planet.
One place, I will be able to get
don't
back to there.
Talk.
Doesn't
please.
Matter where it is.
Steve's talking big right now, and not that I'm gonna call him out of the podcast. That's the biggest crock of bullshit I've ever heard.
Wherever
you
we go.
You can't find your way out of a goddamn plastic bag.
Oh,
shut your mouth.
I guarantee I will. Go where the breeze is, baby.
Sorry, boys. I had to call Steve on his bluff.
Get out of here, dude.
He didn't think I'd do it.
I will go one place.
You done.
Take me one place.
You done.
I will be right back there.
You done.
Promise.
Your couch.
Yeah.
Welcome, sorry, boys. Yeah. Back to you. Back
welcome
to you.
Welcome to the podcast.
Kurt is my identical twin brother. We're the same in every single way.
Take off 60 pounds and add a bunch of good looks, and that's me.
60 pounds? Is that how much more I weigh than you, you fat tub of shit?
How much do you weigh? You said 256 at the shoot, son.
Yeah, I put on a little since then.
All right. What up?
Collusion.
What up?
I'm over here losing weight. No carbs, son. I'm drinking Crown. Don't
no carbs.
Carb
just sauce.
I had carbs since 2004.
Dude.
All right.
I haven't had a carburetor since they stopped making them.
I'm
going
to ask these boys a tough, tough question. And it's not really a tough question, but it's a hard one to answer because I've been asked this a lot with our podcast. And now it's easy because we're comfortable and we've done it a while. But what makes you guys different than other shows? And why should people find you guys out on Carbon versus somebody else?
That is the golden question these days with so many people wanting to get into filming and stuff. And so I'm going to be a great brother and let Tom answer it.
Oh, nice. Damn, throwing him right under the bus. Dun, 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 dun. That's chill his lifeless body under that electric
damn,
same bus.
Son. Minus the details.
Saying, dude. That's right. What happened.
Yeah. So I guess since I've been throwing this question, I would say
definitely being identical twins is a bit of a niche for us. We definitely want to stress, like, on season two, like, being in the, both being in the shot together so the audience can see the both of us more often. But then we also just, like, you guys kind of touched on, we definitely try to have the best quality footage we can always, we can possibly get. That's definitely, Dave and I have been, like, having meetings lately, and we're like, hey, like, filming's got to be number one, hunting's got to be number two, because we just, like, want to have the cleanest show possible. So, we're, like, as far as, like, what really sets us apart, I guess we're still trying to figure that out, but for now, like, just having that twin aspect is something that really helps us.
We're really trying to include our audience in what we do. We're showing, like, the successes and also the failures. We want this average Joe who's sitting on the couch watching our carbon episodes to be like, I can get up and I can go do what they're doing as long as I have a boat and I get my license and everything. And because, I mean, we own no property. We have, like, a few. We have one, basically, private land connection that we can hunt on sometimes. But we do all of our stuff public land. It's all, like, over the counter, go get your tags. We really want it to be, like, really level with people. And we're not going to go and pay for, like, big outfitted hunts and stuff like that. We really want to be able to relate to people. But, that's still a work in progress. I mean, after our first season, like, we are basically just that filming the hunt show, and we are really trying to be more dynamic this fall.
Very cool.
You know, I want to touch on this, and I've already made one wrestling reference this podcast. I'm going to make a second. Dude, you know that when you guys are talking to who's going to be number one, who's going to be number two, I don't think you guys should worry about that so much, because if you take pro wrestling tag teams, all right, big pro wrestling fan, and the one thing about tag teams is you might be able to say, hey, one guy's better at this, one guy's better at that, but throughout the match, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have one guy who's great at this, one guy who's great at that. It doesn't really matter so much as long as both of those come to a finish, right? So if there's a number one here, number one there, as long as you guys finish strong, I think if, you know, hey, you're going to be number one on this episode, you're going to be number one on this episode, I think as long as you guys have a very strong finish and a very strong product throughout the whole thing, that number one, number two shit doesn't need to happen. I think you guys...
People are going to watch.
Yeah, people are going to watch, and they're going to want to see maybe the guy who's number two, probably Nate or Thomas, whoever you want, but as long as you guys can build yourself back up and make that, I believe that is going to be a huge thing for you guys. That's just me as a fan watching. That's what I want to see. I want to see the struggles and the failures of both of you guys.
That's
as long as
point,
the shit
Steve,
ends strong.
Because what I was going to add after you got done rambling was, you know, even if you have an unsuccessful hunt, I still think it makes a great episode. It makes a relatable episode, and it's a learning episode. So I think a lot of people enjoy watching those just as much as the hero kill shot episodes, you know?
Yeah, I think that Outdoor Channel can be so skewed for so many hunters. Like, you see a kill every single episode. That, like, bow hunting couldn't be, like, further from that most of the time, you know?
Agreed, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure, too. So we like to have those episodes. And, like, I know, like, Meat Eater does it, too. Like, they're on a much bigger level than us. But, like, having, like, just showing unsuccessful hunts is just as important, we think, so...
Yeah, no, it just is. Go ahead, it just doesn't make it so staged. I mean, some of my favorite hunts I've ever watched on TV, YouTube, whatever.
You're fine.
Good. Okay. I mean, it's unsuccessful. I mean, you learn so much more when you're not successful. If you shoot a deer, you're like, oh, I did everything perfect, right?
Yeah.
No. Definitely. I mean, yeah. It's the learning process is important to have in film. And, you know, we don't have a hunting show, but I watch enough, I hunt enough, I know a lot of people that do have hunting shows, and those are some of the best episodes. Like you said, Meat Eater does it, and that's what makes Meat Eater different, you know. It's kind of a documentary-style hunt, the way Steve Rinella does it, and it's just interesting, man. You know, when we watched the mule deer hunting episode you guys we talked about earlier, when that episode ended, I'm like, I dig that. Like, I'm into that episode. That is cool, because that's reality.
It's tough. It is really tough, though. Like, to finish one of those hunts, not just like on a non-success, but it's like you want to have that kill. And it's something that you focus on the entire hunt. I know, like, after that shot that Tom missed on at 60 or whatever, I know he was thinking, oh my gosh, what could this have been? Amazing episode. But you got to look back and be like, hey, huge learning curve. People are still going to appreciate this because this is everybody, basically. I mean, it's a slim few who can go out. If you know a guy that can go out hunting and kill something every time, then you know something special. And I don't know any of them.
But right.
That's something that is big time, and it's tough, though.
No doubt. And the cool thing, too, man, when you watch your show, I think about the whole time is like you guys are young, you know. I mean, you guys aren't that much younger than us, but you're a decade younger than we are. You know, you're the next, I guess. It's weird to say next generation, but it's not really that big of a gap. But like, you guys are just behind us in hunting, and you guys are still in school doing this. So it's refreshing to see that because you guys are still learning. You know, I'm almost 30. So I'm not that much older than you, but the things I know now versus when I was 20, 21 killing bucks, like I would say now that I was an idiot then. I still was able to kill deer, and I hustled and got after it, and that's what counts. But it's cool to see you guys get after it the way you do, and it's like it's even more impressive having that mindset when you watch that you're young, you're still in school, you're juggling life, you're figuring shit out, and it makes it better to watch having that mindset the whole time too. And I mean that in a compliment. Yeah, sure. I don't mean that as in like a takeaway.
No, thank you. We really appreciate that. And it's definitely something that we have learned to work with and pride ourselves on. It's that grind. And it motivates us. I mean, honestly, most people are like, how did you do it this last spring? With editing and all these things, going around the business, doing 18 credit hours at a tough university. And honestly, I look forward to going back and editing for 5 hours straight and making my eyes bleed after class because I can go and like go into those hunts a little bit. You know, it's like a little flashback and stuff. So it's like, it is work. It takes a lot of time, but it's so rewarding when you finish that episode and you can look back on this stuff and we're able to share with others. So it is definitely a ton of motivation pushing us through that.
Yeah. I would say I like it. Cause like that mule deer hunt, for example, like, I haven't mule deer hunted before, and it's like you're almost learning with you as you guys are learning too. You know, it's just something different.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and neither you two young men are taking any business classes or anything, because I think you guys have figured out a great way to push yourselves
and a good dynamic
and get a good dynamic and market yourselves.
You're born with that dynamic, if you will.
Born with that dynamic, if you will.
Well, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Thomas. You want to take this guy? You want to take this one?
I mean, we haven't taken many business classes at all. Just a couple. We took one in, like, I guess our huge business class that helped us at Nebraska Wesleyan here in Lincoln was an entrepreneurship class. Nate and I were the only freshmen with a bunch of seniors in it, but we were legends because we had a business, so that was super helpful. We ended up doing really well in this pitch contest, which when we tell people that, they're like, cards? Like you like the card game pitch? And they're like, no, like shark thing kind of deal. So we did well with that, and they sent us to Estonia, the country, for 3 weeks. And we really had time to focus on identical draw, and we focused on business plan, values, I mean, all sorts of important things. And we also were able to work with some entrepreneurs. A couple of tough things were, you know, Europeans, they don't really like us hunters. So,
Europeans hate freedom. So, you know, piss up a rope with that. This is that NGAL. Is that what that is?
Yeah, NGAL.
Yeah, I want to touch on that because that's kind of huge thing.
Let him continue with
that. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, touch on that when you get done.
European state hunters.
Yeah.
So you want to touch on this.
That European trip was NGAL, so NGAL. So we were in Estonia for 2 weeks, and then South Carolina was where, like, the final pitch was. But Estonia, we met so many entrepreneurs, and we had a couple, like, so you guys hunt. When you shoot the animal, like, do you hurt it? Do you injure it?
Jesus. Like, until it dies. Like, what's up?
Yeah. Yeah, we try to kill it as quickly as possible. So we, like,
quickly realized, like, hey, this isn't our target audience. We can't take anything personally. So from then on, we were just like, hey, let's just focus on what we can be done with business. So we had a couple of weeks to really focus on it. Nate, you want to touch on some more of that?
Yeah, it helped us a ton to deal with criticism, because we had a little bit here in the U.S., but over there, it was like every day. These people not even wanting to talk about hunting, just like they wouldn't even mention the word. And we showed them one of our little like intro trailers from that spring, and they were basically like, this sucked. I didn't like this at all. And it was like this night, like super well put together. It's on Facebook somewhere, this video of like our spring hunts and all this stuff. And we just had to sit back and be like, okay, these are the people that are going to be watching our stuff. So that's fine. We can get whatever we want from them. But it's honestly hard to hear that stuff. But we just had to sit back and be like, okay, like these people are watching our stuff. We know like what we're rooted in and what we're trying to get done with this business. So I think the toughest thing was just kind of getting through that criticism and learning how to take it appropriately and how to like kind of transform it to become a strength, to be able to help us make adjustments where we needed to. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the best thing from that trip was we had 2 full weeks to just dive into ID, figure out business stuff, figure out future, but set some goals, things like that.
Man, that's awesome. What a mindset. Because you got to have a strong mindset when you got a bunch of freaking Piers Morgans over there telling you not to hunt.
And that's one of the – I'm glad you guys had that experience. I mean, it sucked, but I'm glad you guys had it. What I would have done is I would have taken a bunch of tea bags and dumped them in a harbor. I'm like, this is what we do. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think the greatest thing you guys took away, and obviously it didn't hinder you from what you guys are doing. You guys got this criticism. You're like, dude, this isn't our audience. We're not going to stop what we doing. We're not going to stop what we're doing because a bunch of Europeans wearing some goofy ass scarves, told us their ascots.
Yeah, go drink some tea. I can't even understand what you're saying. You know,
Because they told us it's like you guys know we're not going to reach a massive audience, and we're not going to be on prime time on various networks. But you guys want to stay true to what you do and what you love, and you want to make the best out of it. That's the shit, and you guys are still grinding out there. I applaud you for that. That's all I wanted to say. So I don't really have a question with that. I'm glad you guys
just an applause. Steve. Just an applause. Thank you for being here, man.
Let me give you guys an applause because you guys went into the heart of non-freedom of speech area.
You're rambling.
We tip the cap to you.
We tip the cap. That's all I got to say. I should have just ended it.
What I want to do now, boys, I want to – something that we haven't covered that you feel like you guys need to cover, I want to hear that, or your favorite hunting story is something I want to close on, or both. We can do both.
Well, I mean, I guess something that came out of the Estonia trip was a connection with Latondra's Media Collective. And so we had actually met Jake Latondras, the owner of that, when we were like eight or 10, when he was at he was working like a little bait shop at Lake McConaughey.
Last year. Yeah. We know.
Let him go.
Yeah. Not just a year ago.
Yeah.
So, we had some phone conversations with him, and then like before you know it, he needed some freelancing done. So I did a doll sheep hunt for him in Yukon, Canada in August before like our elk hunt and stuff. So that was a really cool experience for me. So that was something cool that kind of came out of the Estonia trip too.
Very cool, man. That would be an awesome experience.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
One of the things that has helped us the most is this networking. We were at the Times Media Collective, and Jake helped us a ton. And then we got in and had some help from the Harlan Bowhunter guys. Sean Luckdell, the co-owner of that, has been super good to answer questions with us.
He's been on our podcast before.
Super quality guy. Yeah, and he's been super helpful. Just hoping for a quick text like, hey, what about this? What do you guys do? And helping us kind of understand that whole outdoor market. And then we've had some guys from Cabela's, our good buddy Adam Bender, and a few others that have just helped us answer these questions. And I love it because most industries, they see competition and they don't want to help these newcomers. Mm-hmm. But we've had these guys from these really big industries and these shows that are making it. I mean, Heartland Bowhunter, that's at the top of the Outdoor Channel. And for Sean and those guys to be open to help us is just, we are super grateful. I mean, that's been the biggest thing for us, that we have parents that love us and want us to succeed. And we have these business people that have been down our road and want to help these new guys who have a lot of questions and are just trying to make it, trying to grind away. That's been the biggest thing for us. Just like, man, we've been helped by so many individuals. A lot of people see this business and they see Tom tonight, but there's a huge army behind us that doesn't get recognized.
For sure, man. That is cool.
Same thing we have with T-Bone. He was one of the first guys that really helped us out and pushed us to where we are now. We're so thankful that he was there. And because he opened that door to a room full of wonderful, awesome human beings that we've got to meet. I'm not going to sit here and name names, but I mean, you guys are sitting in the same boat. It's a really nice feeling when you can do something that you really love and you get to meet some of the best people that you've ever met in your life. Doing what you do and doing what you love, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Nate, you want to start with the hunt story? The greatest.
Yeah. That is an impossible question, but I will give it my best. Of course, there's like a few of them that just stick out in my mind.
Yeah, you rotate favorites in your mind. I get what that is. Are there some you like equally, or you feel bad saying you like one more than the other? Like, I get that, but I should have worded it the one that's standing out in your mind at this moment.
The first one.
Yeah. So,
the one.
It's really hard to beat that Colorado elk hunt. It really is. I mean, the whole adrenaline rush of killing the biggest animal of my life, like, cleaning it in the field and packing it out just like with as heavy bags as you can get in the dark with some phone battery left. That's really hard to beat. But if I go to one hunt in my life where it's like, this was a huge hunt for me. This is kind of like what fueled my passion for what I do. It was a seventh grade turkey hunt. And I was a little bit of a crazy kid. Like I said earlier, me and Thomas would both watch Primo's hunting, turkey hunting like videos from January until turkey season. And then we'd start up the next year, and we would be calling throughout the house. And my mom loved it, I know. And I taught myself how to do the diaphragm call that whole winter of my seventh grade year, I think. And so I was like super pumped to be able to get in the turkey woods. And it was one of those things, it was a super big learning curve, but I got to be able to see myself like come into that and be able to figure it out. This like diaphragm call was like super, like I would never be able to do that kind of thing. And I figured it out. And so I went in and did a turkey hunt that spring after learning this call. And yeah, like one of our first hunts in April, I was hunting by myself in seventh grade, and I was using this diaphragm call, and I was getting the turkeys all wound up, and I called this big strutter in to like 30 yards and shot it with my shotgun. And it was the first hunt that I'd ever been like really by myself in the wilderness and been calling by myself using something that I had learned. And I remember going up to that bird and just like being in tears, just so excited, because I'd never like had that huge adrenaline rush of, I called a huge strutter out of the woods away from hens, like right up to me, and just by my mouth call. And I remember just being on cloud nine, so excited that I did this, I learned this. And like, that's the hunt when I look back at, and I'm like, this is definitely what motivated me. And like, I had these like this crazy drive as a seventh grader to learn this and do this hunt. And that, I mean, it's not the most crazy animal. Like, everybody can go out and kill a turkey if you want, but I just remember that as being like a big like coming of age moment almost for me, and like in my hunting life.
That's very cool, man. No, I get that, dude. Yeah. I just had my most memorable turkey hunt this last spring.
I was there.
Doug was there. Doug filmed it. Now, I get it, man. It don't matter what the animal is. You know, a hunt can be super special and just have that personal, just meaning, deep meaning to it. It can be a squirrel hunt, you know. It just depends on your individual experience and what that means to you. That's a beautiful thing about hunting and sharing hunting stories, too, you know. Like, you know, certain things mean different things. And that's why your hunting buddies, like, you know, you grew up with your brother, obviously, but that's why your hunting buddies are some of your best friends. It's different. You share different passions, and
and just you build a deeper bond and friendship with someone you hunt with because you guys are sharing experiences that you don't share with anyone else. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, you might have one buddy you only go have a drink with at a bar, or you go hang out with at a party, or you go, I don't know, whatever. But if you hunt with someone, it's just a deeper bond that you build. And that's the beautiful thing about the outdoors and this industry and what we do. So, I don't know. Basically, it's great that we have guys like you on the show. We've never met before, but we can talk for this long and have genuine conversation. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Right, it is, for sure.
Well, we appreciate you, boys. Where can people find you?
So we've really focused on Instagram and Facebook at Identical Draws, our username, so... Also, of course, on Carbon TV, they can go on to Carbon TV, either the app or online, and just search Identical Draw, and they can watch our first season there.
Very cool, man. Well, we appreciate the heck out of you. Anything you guys want to add before we close this out?
I can't think of anything, but we really appreciate you guys having us on. We love talking hunting, especially with quality guys like you.
They're we'll meaning you and you, Kurt, fall. Not me.
Yeah, all of you guys, yeah. We're definitely looking forward to hearing you guys' success this fall and being in touch.
Appreciate that, man. Again, yeah, maybe we'll cross paths if you guys are going to be at ATA or any trade shows around the Midwest. We'll probably meet up there, and we'll have to do another one, man. Part two, at least, when you guys' the season two comes out, and we can get one rocking for sure.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
But stick around on the phone,
guys.
We'll
be at a lot of those trade shows. So. But thank you guys for having us on.
Of course, man. Yeah, stick around on the phone. Doug, you got anything to add?
Nah, just keep grinding. You guys are doing great.
Intern Tank.
Good hunts. Yeah. Just keep it up, man.
Steve, I know you got something to add.
I do. Thomas and Nathan, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs. Keep doing what you guys are doing. I appreciate the hell out of it as a fan. Dude, I love what you guys are doing. Keep at it, man. That's all I got to add.
Do we need to add more? Sure.
All right, guys. We appreciate the heck out of you.
You got nothing to add?
I am right now. To everyone listening, stay in there. Keep grinding out. Shoot your bow. We got a lot of things coming this summer. We got a lot of episodes going on. What, Steve?
Speaking of shooting bows, Kurt, you should have added this. We got a bow giveaway coming up.
Yeah, we have a bow giveaway.
Don't forget to plug that.
Get on our Facebook and Instagram. We're giving away an Elite E32 courtesy of the Whitetail Experience and the Bone Shed. Get on our Facebook, get on the Whitetail Experience Facebook, and you can enter there. It's easy. You just got to follow the rules. Other than that, shoot your bow. It's time to get ready. If you're making changes, you're making them now.
Get your trail cameras out.
Fall is only a few months away, boys and girls. It's time to get after it. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow.
Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.